This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Two missiles have struck an Iranian tanker off the coast of Saudi Arabia. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. Oil prices jumped this morning after explosions hit an Iranian oil tanker near the Saudi port of Jeddah. The price of Brent crude is up 1.6, 1.7 in U.S. futures markets this morning. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live from Washington. Nancy, what do we know about what happened?
Well, Iran's foreign ministry has confirmed the attack. Iranian state media is reporting that two of the ship's main tanks were hit by missiles, causing an oil spill in the Red Sea. The news agency says no one on board was hurt, although there have been some reports the ship is on fire. And Tracy, that's what we know at this point.
But this comes at a pretty delicate time for the region.
It does. Just last month, two Saudi oil facilities were hit by drone and missile strikes. That cut global oil supplies by 5%. And those attacks were blamed on Iran. The Trump administration said Tehran was behind attacks on six tankers off the coast of the United Arab Emirates last spring. Iran and the U.S. have shot down each other's drones, and Iran is refusing to meet with U.S. officials to negotiate a new nuclear deal. The Trump administration withdrew from a 2015 deal hammered out by the Obama White House. Oil prices have been under pressure because of all of this. Saudi oil production still isn't back to normal.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks. And it's week four of the General Motors strike. While there's been some progress in talks between the automaker and the United Auto Workers Union, there are still some pretty big issues to figure out. Chief amongst them, job security. Marketplace's Jack Stewart has more on the search for middle ground.
Nearly 50,000 auto workers are on strike. Art Wheaton at the Worker Institute at Cornell University has instructed both automakers and unions on contract negotiations.
It's getting to be kind of a test of wills.
The UAW and GM are discussing when temporary workers become permanent and benefits like healthcare. But really, these negotiations are about larger, looming changes in the auto industry. Kristen Gicek is Vice President of Industry, Labor and Economics at the Center for Automotive Research.
The move toward electrification and automation, where General Motors has to make big investments and bets that are pretty risky, and the move toward mobility or mobility as a service. Are people even going to buy cars?
So while the union wants a guarantee for workers, the automaker wants to remain nimble enough to adapt.
It's flexibility versus employment security, and that's not an easy thing to try to resolve.
It'll also be an issue for Ford and Fiat Chrysler negotiations, which are next. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
And now let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.9 range, with Dow futures up 247 points. The 10-year Treasury is up at 1.67%. Abuse in intimate relationships can take many forms. It can be physical or emotional. It can also be economic, where abusers take control of their partner's financial lives and attack their ability to be self-sufficient. It's historically been the most understudied form of abuse. Ashley Powers profiled two women who escaped abusive relationships for the California Sunday Magazine to better understand the high cost and hurdles of leaving. Hey, Ashley.
Hello.
So, Ashley, what did economic abuse look like for the women that you talked to?
So the two women were from different ends of the economic spectrum. Mary's husband had prevented her from working. She didn't have a lot of education. Samantha, by contrast, is from Silicon Valley. She was the breadwinner in her marriage, but her husband exerted control over everything.
Right. She was stashing money under her desk at work. The fact that their abusers were able to control their financial lives made it much harder for them to leave in the first place.
It really did. When you talk to experts and advocates about this, they'll say that oftentimes the number one reason someone either doesn't leave an abusive relationship or doesn't leave successfully is that they don't have the resources to stand on their own. And if you think about abuse as a form of dominance over another person, a form of control, one of the easiest ways to strip someone of their ability to walk away is to take control of their finances. It can be a partner preventing, you know, his wife from getting a job in the first place, or, you know, disabling her car so she misses work, or running up someone's credit cards. It's stripping the victim of her agency.
And so when the abused partner then does get away, then what happens?
Then there's a question of how they stay out. And part of that is restarting their financial lives. For example, Samantha, she wanted to set up her own bank account, and she wanted to sort of extract herself from joint accounts with her husband. And this was really difficult for her to do. She went to her credit union and they're like, you have to have your husband come in. And she's like, I have a restraining order. Like, I can't do that. I think a lot of times our financial systems are set up for best case scenarios. Because domestic violence is much more widespread than any of us would like to think it is, I think it would really help to consider what happens in these worst case scenarios.
Ashley Power's story about the cost of escaping an abusive relationship is in the October issue of California Sunday Magazine. Thanks so much, Ashley.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.